Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We're focusing now on the Ukraine-Russian war. What will it take for the war to end? We welcome on board this morning Irina Tsukerman, who's a human rights and national security lawyer who's based in the United States. Irina, a very good morning to you from this part of the world. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the Morning Mayhem. Hi, Irina. Are you there?
Yes. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning, Irina. And thank you so much for once again for joining us on the Morning Mayhem here on Chai FM. Irina, okay, so the Ukrainian-Russian war, I put it out there, what will it take for the war to end? But if we can begin, if you can just give us a broad perspective as to where things stand right now regarding the war from a, well, on the ground situation as well as a political situation. I know I'm throwing it out there, but if you can just give us a broad picture as to what we are dealing with, and then we can just unpack it from there.
Quite frankly, despite disproportional size and strength, Russia is actually doing quite badly for what it's worth. Its progress in is extremely slow. Since the start of the war, it actually lost a lot of the territory it initially occupied. And even every inch that it takes, it sacrifices many thousands of people. So all of that is wearing down its military comportments. Yes, Russia has been able to smuggle dual-use technologies. Its main strength right now are the drones it's co-producing with Iran. But overall, it's not doing well. And the fact that it's not able to make military progress, it takes out its inability to make military progress by attacking civilians on a daily basis. It refuses to negotiate a ceasefire. It insists that it's an all or nothing approach. Either it continues to attack civilians, or Ukraine has to wave the white flag and basically agree to all of its conditions, which include turning over territories which Russia has not able to take over militarily. None of that sounds like a particularly great deal to Ukraine, which, by the way, has also lost a lot of people, and a lot of people have fled the country from the war. And of course, its numbers compared to Russia have always been significantly lower, but nevertheless, it's also been able to make significant progress in attacking Russian infrastructure, essentially destroying its fleet and significantly diminishing its air defenses.
What is then Ukraine's position on this conflict? In terms of from a political perspective and also on the ground, how does Ukraine now fit in? How do they fit into this broader picture at this point in time?
Ukraine has suggested significant concessions in terms of its positions, including freezing its NATO membership aspirations in exchange for NATO-style security guarantees from Western allies and partners. The problem is no one can seriously make those guarantees, first of all, because Article 5 has itself not been fully tested, even with the current developments in this conflict with Russia ever expanding into Europe. Article 5 has not yet been invoked even for the countries who are members of NATO. As far as Ukraine is concerned, unless serious troop commitments are put on the ground immediately, all of these sacrifices and concessions will be for nothing, because legal measures alone cannot prevent Russia from reigniting the conflict at the time of its own choosing at any point later in time. And so far, it has most of its population remains committed to territorial sovereignty, because not only for the sake of keeping the land, but also because they know that Russia does not does not abide by its commitments. It has violated 100% of the international treaties and agreements it took part in the past, and there is no reason to believe it will abide by any framework, no matter who negotiates it at this point in time. So it needs a structure guaranteed, and really what it would take for something like that to happen is for Russia to fully withdraw. That can only happen when it suffers such significant military and economic losses that it simply cannot afford to continue. And when it becomes obvious that it is facing an overwhelming force, whether by Ukraine being armed to such an extent that they can circumvent the advantages that Russia is currently experiencing, or if Europe and others become such serious forces to reckon with that Russia simply cannot confront such a bloc on its own. So far, that has not been the case. So far, Russia has been able to engage in assorted provocations and violations of sovereignty of various European and other Western countries with virtually no repercussions, and that is why it can continue to fight. And even if it pauses the fighting in Ukraine, most likely it will turn to attacking other countries and refocusing its aggression on those states. So ending the war in Ukraine on Russia's terms is not an option for anyone, really, not just for Ukraine.
Indeed. Irina, we've actually just run out of time. I wish we could have expanded on this conversation a bit more, but we're going to have to end it there. But Irina, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on our morning show to just outline exactly what is happening as I pose the question to you on the ground and politically regarding the Ukraine-Russian war. What will it take for this war to end? Irina Tuckerman, who's a human rights and national security lawyer based in the United States.